Don't want to talk. They're the ones who I'd like to call them on. Right, do you see these no entry signs?
No, this is the gesture when they're with me, it's the wrong way.
Stop doing that.
This used to be the quickest way to get to my flat. Up here, but pretty much this entire end now, they're going to have to demolish all of this in order to make space to take down the tower.
But they're going to demolish all these homes too?
No, the homes are going to stay. We have a pledge in that respect.
From the council?
From the council and basically Nick Hurd, who's Theresa May's bitch. He's the Grenfell lead. He's given these assurances as well.
Unreal.
Uh-huh. I mean, this is why you see, I never have any problems with people who want to come and look at this. You know? People who want to take selfies, I think, yeah, that's grotesque. But I've yet to see a picture or a video that does it justice.
What's this going on here at the minute?
This covering is at the request of the community, and the way this scaffolding and covering have been designed is that as soon as they're sure that they've searched a particular area, it gets covered. And the way they've designed the scaffolding is that once it's all covered, it can be taken down internally without having to remove the scaffolding. But I have to say, they've really cleaned up down here. All this was covered in the cladding. All of it was covered in it, because it was popping off. I mean, it was found up to 2 miles away. That was the strength of this. That was the sort of force that it was literally like popcorn that night. You just hear this crackling, popping noise, and it was just flying off. You know, and it hit 2 miles away.
It's totally surreal, the
with the park here.
Like the surrounding environment.
If you want to take pictures or anything, go ahead.
Well, I'll take a few just for a wee bit at the end as well. I mean, like, what's your... Like, what happened here? What happened here and where are you at the minute?
Right, well, the fire started on the opposite side to the one we're looking at the minute. It was a fridge in a property on the fourth floor. The fire brigade attended and they put that fire out, but what they didn't realise was that the cladding had already caught fire. Because it had caught fire between the building and the exterior of the cladding, they never saw it. So they attended, they told the guy whose flat it was that he had to get out for the night, and that's why you'll hear stories about how this guy had packed his bag and left. But that was the fire brigade had told them that. And then it was around 12:50, 12:55 in the morning that they had to, they realized, oh shit, this is serious. And what actually happened was, it went from his flat, it went straight to the middle, all the way up, and then out and round. That was how it caught fire. And the reason it went to the middle was that's where the emergency stairs are on the other side. And when they regenerated this block, we all used to be on a communal heating and hot water system, which was actually under that tower. And when they redid the tower, they took the people in the tower off that system. They all got their own boilers. And so that to save money on laying the gas pipes, they just put them up the emergency staircase.
And I've seen a million reports about how the flag was put up on these issues well in advance of anything happening here. What's your perspective
Grenfell
on that?
Grenfell Action Group blog. I worked with Francis. He's the guy who rides it. He's in Ireland at the minute. He lives just outside Dublin. He moved back a few years ago to be with his family because of his health. Francis was sort of the one who wrote it, and there's a guy from the tower called Ed DeFan. He was sort of the on the ground type person. And they got threatened with legal action because of the stuff they were saying by the council. By the council. So that was when I got involved. I was head of insurance and risk at a neighbouring borough at the time, head of Brent. And so I know about this stuff, and I pointed out to them, I said, look, they can't sue you. I went, there's a famous court case, the Times newspaper versus Derby in 1991, where it was said that, you know, public entities are supposed to be big and strong enough to be able to take any criticism. So regardless of what you say about them, they cannot sue you for libel. At that point, the council went away and then came back and said that they were going to fund libel actions on behalf of individual council officers, which was illegal as well, because you cannot use money from the public purse in that way. But they were quite happy to do it, and of course there was no real recourse.
I mean, what's your perspective on that back. Culture? Like that culture within a
it's
public
that
authority?
Culture of Arca. I mean, I dealt with it at Brent the whole time. I dealt with it at Brent. And the only way I found that I could get things done was it's a very simple philosophy I found. You have to make what you want them to do to be less hassle than what they want to do. And that's the only way you'll get it done. It might sound simple, but believe me, it's a very effective philosophy. So, I mean, for example, at Brent, I had these fights, ironically, about fire safety just after Lackenham. And the way I dealt with it was they were saying, oh, well, you know, we're not willing to do this, that and the other. And so I said to them at the time, I said, well, unfortunately, I've already told their insurers about these issues. So if there is a fire, we won't be insured. So can you please put another 70 odd million into the reserves? Because we won't be able to insure these particular blocks anymore. And no, it certainly didn't make me the most popular council officer, but hey, at least I can fucking sleep at night.
I mean, there's not a person with TV who hasn't seen what happened here in the end. Obviously, there's a media narrative around all of this, and then there's a government narrative around all of this, and then there's... The reason I'm here is because we also have a narrative in North Belfast around PVC cladding, high-rise living, social housing generally, how residents are to blame for most of the problems, if not all of the problems. And like, what do you think the people in North Belfast living in tower blocks that have PVC cladding, that are living with the same fears and concerns and have raised the same, what do you think those residents should be doing or thinking, or if you had words of advice?
You vote out anyone who supported it. That's the only thing you can do at the minute. You complain as much as possible about it. If necessary, you know, I mean, one thing I tried to get the people in the tower to do a few years ago when they had power surge issue, I said to them all, look, just throw 30 quid in each. You know, you've got 200 properties there. We'll have a fund. You can actually instruct a solicitor to take one of your cases when their electrics blew up. Said, instruct a solicitor to take one of your cases to court. Make sure you sue for under $5,000, so even if you lose, they can't get you on costs. You know, and they didn't do it. And a lot of them have said it to me now that they bitterly regret that. You know, so unfortunately, you need to do something like that. If you feel that the fire safety inspections that they're undertaking are bullshit, you know, you find someone who'll do ones that you don't think are bullshit, to be quite blunt. That's the only thing you can do is get them on safety. Because if you can show you, Mr. X or Mrs. X, at this particular council or at this particular district office or whatever, if I could show you're the one now who is deliberately ignoring this thing, well, look, do you really want to be in court when this happens? Or are you too pretty for jail?
I mean,
that's the only way you'll get anything done.
In the new lodge in the tower blocks, residents, families, mostly women and kids, were monitoring their conditions for years and campaigning for change. All the issues are probably the same as every tower block everywhere, you know, heating systems that are 20 years old, cost too much, don't heat your property, damp and mould growth at every corner of the room, kids that are getting sick because of all that. When we went and met with the minister at the time, Nelson McCausland, and said to him that, you know, the PVC cladding isn't going to solve the human rights issues that residents have been identifying, his response was to say, well, the people of the new lodge should be happy with half a loaf rather than no loaf at all. I mean, does that resonate with you, that type of public?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, their attitude is that you should be grateful for whatever little shit we're willing to throw at you. You know, and how dare you have the impertinence or the cheek to even ask for more or not be grateful for what we're doing. I dealt with it just before, just after Christmas. All the people who are still in hotels, myself included, were supposed to get additional money to pay for meals over Christmas because it's a fortune to buy something on Christmas Day. And the council fucked it up royally. They didn't get any of the payment. they didn't get most of the payments out until after Christmas, and a lot of them didn't come until early January. And the attitude of the deputy leader of the council, Kim Taylor-Smith, was, oh look, no good deed goes unpunished. You know, we should still be grateful for what little they're willing to hand us.
And what has that been? I mean, what has that response been? In real, in practical terms, in resource terms, like
in
emotional, like, yeah, support and all that.
In practical terms, the council are still dealing with a PR disaster. They don't care about the humanitarian one. That's what their big issue is at the moment.
What looks good for the optics?
What looks good, exactly. Well, you know, what are the media optics at the moment? How do we look? Because, I mean, they're even saying things like, you know, we've got 300 properties at the moment to rehouse people, and there's only 230-odd households that need rehousing. I'm on the scrutiny committee. That's utter, utter bullshit. They haven't closed on any of these properties yet. So you can't let people view them, and if they can't view them, they're not going to bid on them. So what good is that? But you know, you never see them rush out and say, when someone puts that in the media, that, you know, there are 300 properties and these people are just hanging around in hotels because they just want to keep getting these this food allowance money and things like that. You don't see them rush out and go, no, actually it's our fault because we haven't closed on them, because it suits their narrative.
And how many families, like, have got a solution in the aftermath?
At the moment,
you can have a solution to it.
At the moment, I think of the 220 or 30 odd households that were in there, about 50 have been rehoused. That's it. Or where I say rehoused, they've either moved in or they've now done a solid acceptance on a property, so they've not quite moved yet.
And are they scattered to the four winds, or what?
Quite a few of them did get scattered. Some have taken places, you know, like 3, 4, 5 miles away. The furthest away I'm aware of was Waterloo, that someone took somewhere, but I believe they wanted to move out that way, so that's fair enough. But for most people, no, you can't find anything. You literally can't find anything that's in the area. You know, and they're being, you know, I mean, the council don't care at the minute. They're trying to bully everyone to go into temporary accommodation. And I keep saying to people, don't go into temporary accommodation, because once you go into temporary, they've got you over a barrel. Because even no landlord over here is going to sign a lease that's longer than a year. And all that will happen in a year's time when they still haven't got flats is they just say to you, well, look, I'm sorry, the lease is terminating on this place. Either you take this shithole that we're offering you, or you're intentionally homeless. You know, that's why they can't do it. They literally can't do it. And that's why I'll constantly, you know, even with the Christmas meal thing now, I got 90 odd media contacts in my phone I've made since June. Anytime anything goes wrong, WhatsApp to all of them. Yeah. I do it that way. And you know, even if one or two of them pick it up, that's still a victory. And we still get something done. But that's the only way we're getting anything done, is through shame.
And do you think even some of that's subsiding now, like the media focus or the public pressure?
I think at the minute, you know, the news media is news media, basically. This isn't going to be in it daily. And that's why what you have to show them is you have to give them an angle every time. So you have to become quite media savvy yourself. You know, so for example, the latest thing I've been pushing is the council want to take back control of all of the properties that are in the borough at the minute. And the way I've been pushing that is, well, look, they couldn't even arrange a Christmas meal payment in time for Christmas.
You
expect them to be able to manage 10,000 properties. You see, that sort of soundbite will get you media attention. And, you know, unfortunately, it's extremely cynical to be like that. But hey, there you go. Oh, and look, here we go. Huh? I walked up the ramp. I live there.
What's that, the 5-0?
Yeah. Huh? No, there isn't.
There's,
I walked
cops
up the ramp. I live in Barrington Walk, right there. My name's Joe Delaney. You can check if you want.
Are these the 5-0?
Yeah.
And what's the worry here? What's happening here
nothing
with these cops?
All right. Yeah, no, it's fine. Honestly, I've lived here over a decade. I know my way around.
Well, I suppose that brings another thing in the main then. So what has been all the public service, public servant response? Or?
I mean, one thing you've got around here at the minute is there's a kind of protective bubble. See, like now, they won't dare do anything to me.
Yeah.
They wouldn't dare around here at the minute. And it does show you that, you know, there really is one law. Well, you know, there really is, we do sort of really do live in a two-law type society. And when I'm near this block at the minute, I could probably stab someone in front of them, they won't touch me, because they don't want the bad PR.
But it's purely cynical. I mean, it's about wrapping the bad PR and bubble wrap.
It's utterly cynical. Yeah. It really is. You know, I've had to pull that with them as well before. I said when they were screwing people over for payments and things like that in the past, I went to the Curve, the response centre, and I deliberately went at 8 p.m. on a Friday, and it shuts at 8:30. And I said, I'm not leaving here until all those people are paid. And I brought the two dogs with me. I let them run wild in the place. And I said, I'm not leaving here. I went, I dare you get me arrested for trespassing. Go on, I dare you. Yeah. And that was the only way I got stuff done.
Thrown in the back of a wagon.
Exactly. Wouldn't have worked at all in the slightest. They wouldn't have cared. They really wouldn't have cared.
But what do you think about? I mean, obviously everybody's picking up pieces like in a million different senses. But how involved are the people who are impacted by this in what seems to be a whole load of agencies developing the solutions? You know, how involved are the people who are directly impacted?
I'll tell you a story. I was at a meeting last week. It was with a lady called Saj, who is Nick Hurd, the MP's PA or PPA, whatever they're called now, special advisor or whatever her bloody name is.
Yeah, we've got a few of them.
Had the NHS there. We had the council. We had the police. And I said to them, look, here's what you need to do. You need to do this. And she said, okay, hang on, Joe. You are catapulting towards a solution there. That was the exact phrase she used. Honestly, Sir Humphrey would have been proud. I'm catapulting towards a solution. And even now I can see it. So many of these agencies and things like that are still process driven. They're not results driven. You know, and that's what the damaging culture is at the moment. Once you have a process like this that kicks off, that's where you have your problems. You see, because it's very hard to get them then to change that process in your favor, because they really don't give a shit about the results. That's it. You know, they want a block to look nice. That's it. So what process can we use to get that? And by hook or by crook, we're going to do it.
Where is the inquiry in that frame and all that type of stuff?
Are the
various versions of inquiries?
Well, we have the public inquiry with Sir Martin Moorbeek. To be honest, I know there's been a lot of criticism of him. I'm still fit, you know, I'm still cautiously optimistic, or cynically optimistic, if there's such a thing, at the minute. I mean, if you look at the McPherson inquiry, the one that was into the Stephen Lawrence death, that gave us the phrase institutional racism. But before that, no one thought he was going to deliver a fair and unbiased inquiry. He was a crazy right-wing judge who openly expressed crazy right. You know, he made Thatcher look like James Callaghan, basically, with the views that he expressed. And no one thought he'd be able to do it. But he was able to do it, you know, and we got the phrase institutional racism from that. A phrase I've been pushing since June for this is institutional indifference. That's it. It's not that they hate you, per se, because even hate requires some form of effort. They just literally don't give a toss.
Have you been tapping into other... I mean, I know Tom introduced us, but tapping into experts and expertise that is useful, at your disposal, yeah?
Tom Woolley's been great. He put me in touch with Professor Anna Steck at the University of Loughborough. I took her on a tour around here. This is actually one of the sites we took soil from. And the frightening thing is, do you see this grass area here?
Yeah.
We took soil right from by that wall there. That was the only place around here we couldn't find worms when we were there. And that was the closest we could get. I couldn't get her inside this barrier. Do you see below us, the fence? I couldn't get her past that to get in here. Yeah. This is one of the sites I did want to get soil and worm and things samples from. I couldn't get her in here. The police just weren't having it that day.
And I mean, that's one of the things, like, it sort of resonates again with home too, because Tom has specifically raised toxicity. So he's carried out the tests himself, and then we've carried, obviously we're not experts, but people have carried out tests, literally lit the stuff on fire and see what happens. But he's carried out in relation to toxicity and says that even if the stuff was safe in terms of escape, that the toxic fumes alone would do such damage.
I mean, look, one of the most common injuries for people who were leaving the tower that night was cyanide poisoning.
Really?
You know? Fuck's sake, where do we live, in a James Bond film? That's the only type of place where you'd see that sort of thing, you know? Or, you know, someone like Alexander Litvinenko when he got assassinated. Do you know, that sounds like something that spies or secret evil government agencies would use to try and kill you. They fill a room with cyanide and just let you die that way. It is fucking ridiculous that that was the case. You know, cyanide poisoning, for God's sake. What kind of, in what universe is anything where it heats up that can release cyanide gas? In what universe anywhere is it safe to put that stuff on people's homes, let alone any other building? You know, and this stuff's on hospitals, this stuff's on schools. You know, it's not on Parliament.
I mean, that's it really, isn't it? Like, I mean, it's good enough for people at Grenfell, or it's good enough for people at New Lodge.
It's one thing about, I have one story I always like about the Chinese government. Do you remember the Millennium Bug?
Yeah.
Hoo-ha.
Yeah.
What they did was they passed a law over there, and they said that the owners of every single airline in their country had to be in a plane in the air at midnight on the year 2000. You see? And so you could guarantee that if there were going to be any problems, they would have solved it.
CEOs of people.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, now human rights abuses and whatever aside from the Chinese government, that's the sort of thinking you need. That's the way our leaders need to be dealt with over here, you know? You shouldn't be allowed to send your kids to private school. You have to send them to the local state. And you have to get the bus or tube or tram there at the time. That's the only way you can get anything fixed by them. Because as long as they can step out of the system or process that they're creating for others, there is no incentive for them, as sad and cynical as that may be, there is no incentive for them to ensure that that system or process is the best it can possibly be.
It reminds me that there's a woman, Belinda Waller, lives in one of the tower blocks in the New Lodge. When we were down protesting about the fact that they were going to clad the towers in the first place, that was a very thing to say. Come and live in my flat for a weekend.
I offered them that here as well. I said it, look, when I moved to the hotel. So look, got a lovely one bedroom, flat here at the minute, ultra fast broadband, 70 meg, you know, any of you are welcome, that's it, you know, don't have Sky anymore, I tend to use the Kodi box because it's far cheaper, but look, I'll even show you how all that works, that's it, you know, nice big TV, balcony, you know, so you can look at CSI Grenfell downstairs on the other side.
Anybody take you up on it?
Oh, did they fuck?
Right. I mean, I'll wrap this wee bit up here now, but like I said, how did it start? Firstly, very grateful for you, like, just given the time, and I'm sure you've recited this 100.
I'm happy to, as I said, I'm sorry, because literally I ended up trekking across London at 4 this morning to get a tooth pulled. And then I got back at 6, and so there, because I hadn't slept yesterday or last night, and so I was absolutely knackered. And when I finally did fall asleep then at 7 this morning, it was the first sleep I'd had in 2 days, and oh, it was beautiful, it really was, especially with that pain gone. But yeah, I'm always happy to help in any way I can at all.
Like, we definitely have to get you over to the New Lodge to talk to people about your own experience. We definitely do that. In the interim, if you had anything to say, I mean, in the next few weeks, what our local housing authority, the housing executive, are going to release a report that they have commissioned by experts from the University of Ulster and so on and so forth. Tom wanted to make submissions to that report for a very long time, and they kept them out of it. So they kept certain types
of... Well, that tells you already. Why? Why keep someone out of it?
Well, this is it, but they've also, the other people they've kept out of it is the residents. So none of the residents have been involved in that. Now, it could be that report is a hands-up admission of what the issues are,
I very much doubt it, though. I mean, look at the what's it? The MO so far. Yeah. The modus operandi so far is we're excluding experts, we're excluding those affected. You know, it doesn't exactly fill you with optimism and hope, does it?
And what would, with the hindsight of this tragedy in your rear view mirror, like, I mean, what advice would you have for us?
I will contact the people who are writing it, you know, and I mean, as I said, I'll share you some of the videos of this, yeah? I'd contact them, send them a few links to these and say, do you really want something like this on your hands? You know, not to sound dramatic or bombastic or anything, but look, that's what people said here when this was predicted. You know, the famous piece you're on about is the Grenfell Action Group blog, one from November 2016 called Playing With Fire. You know, and he was accused of hysteria and, you know, promoting fear, you know, harvesting a culture of fear amongst the residents and all this stuff at the time. You know, well, look who was, I mean, it's an awful thing to have been right about, but hey, there you go, he was 100% right.
And if we can get ahead of, I mean, firstly, the two tires, there's seven tires, two of them are clad, so the half a loaf has gone up on two tire blocks. It hasn't solved the systemic problems, it hasn't solved the heating issues.
Well, that's
it,
you see, even if they want to go on an evidence-based result there, you know, look, the evidence so far shows that this stuff isn't doing what you're saying it will do. So even if just to protect the public purse, maybe you have another think about what you're doing. Look, because it clearly doesn't work. The heating's not improved, as you said, you know, the insulation's not improved. You know, have the lives of the people there been improved? Do the people who fly past it at 70 miles an hour on the motorway really give a fuck what it looks like? I very much doubt it.
That's 100%. I mean, if you had one message to give to our residents who are organising in the new lodge at the minute, what would it be?
It would be to fight fire with fire. So if you don't like the experts they've got, find your own. You know, there are lots of people at the minute who would be more than willing and able to help you. That's it. You know, people like Tom Woolley, people like Professor Anna Steck, anyone at all that you can find in that respect. Go find them, ask them, get their help, enlist them. Even get hold of some of the cladding. If it were me and I was there, I'd take some of the cladding off the building that's already been done. And I'd send it off to one of these people and I'd get it tested that way. You know, that's what I did for Tom here. I broke in here and stole loads of it and then gave it to him.
There's residents playing that game already. So they've got that. I mean, we've got it. We tested it. We know it's wrong. We know that experts before us have said that it's wrong. Mm-hmm. We know it hasn't solved any problems.
Well, another thing you might want to do then is find out who their insurer is and point this out to their insurer. Because there you go then. You see, once you start involving the money men, that's when you're likely to get a change. I found that when I was at Brent. Once I told the insurer something, I would then say, well, look, they're not going to underwrite this risk anymore. So if you do this stupid thing in this stupid way, you better up your reserves, my friends, because otherwise we're not covered, you know? And that was one thing the director of finance always fucking hated there, because he's personally legally liable if the council has insufficient funding. You know, Section 154, the Local Government Act, brilliant piece of legislation. Fucking hated me about it.
Yeah, they don't like me when they can quote legislation at them.
Yep. No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay, well, look, we'll wrap this bit up because I know we're going to go for a bit of a dander, are we?
Yeah.
See, just because I didn't do it at the start there.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself, please.
Oh, my name's Joe Delaney. I'm a resident of the Lancaster West Estate, which includes Grenfell Tower. My flat was 15 metres from the tower, and I'm still evacuated to a hotel in Hammersmith 7 months later.
Thank you, mate. You're a gent.